Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we are finally taking a look at Batman The Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller. Let's go. Longest intro ever.
I think I waited too long.
It was in time.
It was perfectly in time. You don't even know.
Nobody knows. They think they know, but they don't know. You can tell, even though you're probably, if you're a consistent listener, aware that we've been putting out stuff every week as per our normal schedule, it's been like 2 weeks since we've recorded, and you would think it had been longer by the kersnaffle just happened.
It was the Murphy's Law. Everything that could go wrong did. Like, we started recording, and you might get to hear part of it because I have an app on my computer that does like backup recording. But we had done the intro, we were talking, had a little bit of banter going on, and then Torrance said, "Oh, wait, stop." And he realized he hadn't actually hit record. And then I looked over and found that I hadn't actually hit record on the audio. So we got to start again. And a comedy of errors. It's okay, but I'm grateful, because if Torrance hadn't realized it, I don't know how long we would have made it before I realized.
Yeah, it was. We didn't do our claps to sync up anything. Yeah. It took us an hour to get everything set up.
Yeah,
it's Saturday.
We do have a new wide angle on the for the camera. So, like, if you were looking at this, you might notice that looks nicer than it did in the past when we had the wide angle. Because I bought a little $30 GoPro that we use at first. And it looked like a $30 GoPro, but now we're using Alex's fancy schmancy iPhone 13 Pro.
I don't know if anybody's ever wondered what we shoot with. So my angle that you're seeing right now is a Sony a7 III with a 24-105 at about 70 millimeters. Drew is on a
Panasonic Lumix G7. I'm currently just using the kit lens. Back in the day, we used to use a little pancake 14 millimeter lens. But yeah,
this gets him much closer to the aperture that I was on my camera. And then on the wide angle, that's an iPhone 13 Pro, just the regular wide angle lens. And
we're recording on Shure 58 microphones through PreSonus audio box interfaces into a MacBook Pro from 2017, recording into Logic. So thanks. Thanks for tuning in to Tech Talk.
Going into a 2016 MacBook Pro of the same variety. Through QuickTime using an A10 Mini Pro.
Yeah.
And then also on this third angle here, we have my 2018 iPad Pro 11-inch running the comics.
If you're still listening to this, then you're obviously a fan. Have you entered into our two-man Christmas 2021 giveaway?
Bet you haven't.
So find us on YouTube. Find one of the recent videos. Just put a hashtag. Two Man Christmas 2020 and 2021. We'll figure it out.
As many 20s as you want.
Yeah. Or shoot us an email, twomancomicbookclub@gmail.com, and just say, hey, I'd like to be entered. Whatever. If you figure out something and you tell us, you say something to the extent of Two Man Christmas, then we'll enter you. I think we're going to do the drawing like December 17th or somewhere in there.
Yeah. Listen, you've got a chance of winning. I'm going to be transparent here. We have one entry right now. One. So far, it's a lock.
Yeah.
But even if 100 of you win, there's still a decent chance. You know, you got a chance. Like, jump in here. We've got some cool ideas. Our window has closed on our Secret Santa. We definitely have way more than one person doing that with us. So it's too late to enter that. Better luck next year.
Yeah, next time. It's cool already. We got a handful of people that are going to share the gift of comics with each other.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting.
It's going to be cool. But it's not too late to get on a giveaway just for the Christmas giveaway that we're doing. So jump in, tweet at us, review, post on YouTube, do the thing, like, subscribe. And might win something cool.
Yeah.
Something cool. Excuse me.
So, Alex, what you been reading, yo?
I have multiple episodes to record today, so let's see. We're going to split this up a little bit. I have been reading more of The Watchmen. I'm not quite done yet, which I do have some thoughts about what we're talking about today and some parallels
here. Yeah, there's, for sure.
There's some stuff for sure. I went back and reread Human Target Number One, which, by the way, my buddy Drew surprised me and picked up the second copy from our local comic shop.
Yeah. And I hope you don't mind, but I read it.
Oh, I would be furious if you hadn't.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm excited to read that. I read a few more X books. I'm getting farther behind. I might as well have never read a comic book.
Yeah.
I reread the Batman Dark Knight Returns that we're talking about today. I've read it before. Yeah. It holds up.
Yeah.
What it else? Really does. I've read something else.
Oh, can I interrupt you for a second?
Please.
You made a comment a long time ago.
Yes.
Alex showed us this one. And you opened it up and you're like, look at this. It looks like it could have been done yesterday. I was watching something. Apparently, like, because you look at this art and it looks very modern.
Yes.
At some point after release, they redid the coloring. I'm wondering if this is a more modern, like maybe if you had the original one, it might have looked like
more
it was
dated.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I don't. Not that that's important. I don't know why I stopped the flow of the entire podcast to tell you that.
Hey man, Batman comics.
This is another of those that are considered to be as influential for the Batman story. As the one we're covering today.
I imagine one day we'll cover that one. What we're going to cover today is pretty dark. That one's really dark.
Yeah.
I have not read this yet. Dragging My Feet, Time Before Time, issue 6. There's something else. I don't know. I'll figure it out for next episode. What about you? What have you been reading, yo?
Basically, Dark Knight Returns and Death of Superman.
How many issues in are you?
For Death of Superman, I read the Doomsday arc. I read Funeral for a Friend. I'm approximately halfway through Reign of the Superman, where the clone, the prematurely escaped clone of Superman, which is Superboy. If you've ever seen the one that has like the leather jacket and pierced ears, there's him. There is the Eradicator, which they all are calling themselves Superman right now. But the Eradicator is really interesting. He has these gray shades on, or not gray, like yellow shades, and he shoots like stuff out of his hands, and he is like an executioner. Then there's the Cyborg Superman, and then there is also Steel. We've talked about Steel, I think, briefly. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it. His debut was in the Reign of Superman. So if Steel ever like gets high profile stuff, I've got like 4 copies of that book. So I'm going to be making some bank. I'm going to make approximately $15 a book.
You'll be able to fund this podcast.
Yeah. So anyway, I've been reading that, and I haven't done as much comic reading recently because I've been working on some. I actually wrote a book recently, so I was thinking about that a little bit. I would go to bed, drifting off to sleep, letting my scenes kind of coalesce in my mind instead of reading comics. But I've got a stack to get going again. We've talked in the Discord a little bit about our stacks of shame, like our physical books that we have that are taunting us, and mine has grown after a couple more trips to the comic
shop. I've decided
that
digital stacks of shame are a thing.
Oh, God.
Because now I'm so invested in the Hickman and Team X books that they're accessible to me at the drop of a finger on a digital screen. That I'm just kind of, I feel the same way about a physical floppy stack of shame. So digital stacks of shame are now a thing. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Well, if that's the case, I've got about another 20 issues of the Death of Superman.
Yeah.
And then a billion others.
Mm. We're in trouble.
A literal billion.
We're in trouble.
Have you been reading anything, Torrance?
I've been reading not a comic book, but a book called Meddling Kids. I don't know if I mentioned
like
that.
I feel like I've heard of it.
Maybe you've just heard Scooby-Doo villains.
That's sort of the premise. It's a Scooby-Doo type gang that grows up and gets caught up in shenanigans again.
Oh, those shenanigans.
Do they have a dog?
They do.
Okay. What's his name?
Tim, I think.
There are some who call me Tim.
Cool.
Did you guys know what I was just referencing?
It's Monty Python, right?
There you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, didn't know. What else? Any other things? Oh, we should tell people where they can find us on the internet.
I'm going to try to make this a little bit more concise.
Yep.
I've listened to a bunch of podcasts where they give some plugs at the beginning, so I'm going to try to just make it through this. We'd love to interact with you on Twitter, Instagram, all those things. On Twitter, we are at Two Man Comic Book with the number two. Instagram, Facebook, just look for Two Man Comic Book Club. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/Two Man Comic Book Club. If you like what we do, we'd really appreciate your support. We have a Discord. There is a link down in the show notes that you should actually be able to click now because I figured out how to work that on Podbean. Join it, talk. We share panels, we share memes, we talk about what we've been reading and guitar pedals. And
questions to keep you up at night.
Yeah. Shoot us an email at twomancomicbookclub@gmail.com or give us a phone call. If you called us and said hashtag, or tell us what your name is, say hashtag two man Christmas 2021, I would count that. Give us a call at 662-MAN-FAN-8.
Yeah. Where can they find you?
At Drew Morse Comp on Twitter. You can That's find all me it's worth.
At Alex Wayne Miller, Batman. All over the places. Torrance. Batman's not actually part of the tag. I should preface. Yes.
Alex,
but the Wayne is like Batman.
Are you the Batman from this?
Maybe.
Okay, I guess we don't know.
Yeah,
Torrance, do you want people to find you?
479-228-7066.
Can confirm that is his phone number. Wow, what a doozy! So we've got a crazy one for you today. Where I think we're going to get through at least two issues of Batman The Dark Knight Returns. So
these are big boy issues. They're 50 pages
of comics, and there's four of them. We're going to split into two and two. Y'all, this is an iconic Batman story.
I can't believe I slept on this for so long.
You know, it's another one of those things. It falls into your digital stack. There are quite a few home runs of comic book stories,
I have to
keep up and try to pick up the slack at the same time.
This was Alex's idea. Like, we've been wanting to cover Batman for a long time. And finally, after we finished recording the Hawkeye episode, the Grillogy, last week, I was just like, maybe we should cover Batman. What should we read? And we talked about like Court of Owls or some other things. And Alex said, what about Dark Knight Returns, Frank Miller? And I was like, I don't know that one. And I read it, and I'm so glad that we picked this. So good call.
I think it snuck into your top two list.
It did after reading it. Like I currently have, I feel like I'm a fraud that I don't actually have a list of my favorite stories. So I'm trying to fix that by like when I read one and it's good, I toss it on there. Hawkeye was the one of them. And now this one, I think Death of Superman's probably in there also. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what order they would be. Probably depends on my mood.
Yeah. And it's a good one. It's one of those that has aged very gracefully.
Yeah.
Like Drew said earlier, this was written and penciled in 1986. So many, many comic books from that era. Honestly, many comic books from even 10 years ago sometimes feel dated.
Would you like to use that as a segue into the 60-second catch-up?
Yeah, why don't you take us through Frank Miller's Batman and Dark Knight Returns, or just Batman in general, mm-hmm. and then we'll get into the story.
So, we're like 10 minutes into the show, but we're ready to talk comics now.
Yeah.
So, in 1986, I'm going to try to make this a Batman 60-second mm-hmm. catch-up, but I learned a whole lot as I was reading this and studying for it. Comics had they were strong in the 60s.
Yeah.
But like at some point in the 70s and 80s, they kind of dropped off. They'd gotten real campy,
mm-hmm.
less like just people in tights that could not be hurt.
And this is right before the 90s where they really got punched in the face. Like 90s comics in many ways were hurting.
Yeah. So DC wanted to kind of fix that. So they brought in Frank Miller. I think at that point he'd already done his Daredevil run, mm-hmm. which was pretty iconic. So at this point, you know, Batman, you know, he started as a more dark, you know, the Dark Knight type stuff. And then with the Adam West 60s show kind of turned into more of... So anyway, if you don't know who Batman is, he's a guy named Bruce Wayne sitting right across from me. And he's rich. His parents were killed. whenever he was a kid, and through that, and then also he had a run-in with some bats in a cave. And he just decided at some point, obviously, I should fight crime.
Obviously.
And so he put on an outfit of a bat and went out and had all these awesome gadgets, Batmobile, Batcopter, Batarang, Batbike, Bat...
all obvious things you would find in a utility belt.
Yes. And he just fought crime in Gotham City, his hometown. And with his, you know, as he took care of like street level thugs, nasty villains came out. Joker, Penguin, Mr. Freeze, all these things, the Riddler, more and more sinister. So this story is after the majority of that. Mm-hmm. He retired, Bruce Wayne retired from being Batman 10 years ago. And in that time, like I'm getting a bit ahead of myself, but it seems like the entire hero ecosystem of the world had changed.
Yeah.
Like Wonder Woman, I think, went back to Themyscira. Mm-hmm.
Jordan went back.
Yeah. Superman. We'll get to him, but I get the feeling that the age of heroes has passed. Mm-hmm. And like, though some may still be acting, it's almost like in the shadows. And
that's
some
where
people
get a lot of similarities between the Watchmen, in my opinion.
Like, yeah,
this
yeah.
feels very yeah. like superheroes are done.
If they are happening, mm-hmm. it's people are talking about the Batman being a myth.
Yeah. It's been that long, the kids don't think he
and
was
I'm,
real.
I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm gonna go ahead and mention Superman real quick. Even whenever we see things about Superman, it seems like people have forgotten who Superman is, mm-hmm. at least in Gotham City. So it's a different world. Like, and it's not like the heroes stepped back because things were perfect. Maybe maybe things were good 10 years ago, but things have devolved.
Oh yeah.
And we'll get into that pretty quick, but essentially picture a 55, which it's funny. They call a 55-year-old Batman, like, old and decrepit, and 55, like, there are 55-year-olds who are in way better shape than I will ever be. Mm-hmm. So I think it's funny. That's one thing that I don't think has aged as well, the age. Like, I think they should have called him 65 or 70, the way that they were trying to talk about how rough
he was. I
guess
just with the time.
Isn't part of it because of the you know, punishment that he put his body through?
Yeah, okay, good call. There is that. Yeah, yeah, that would make perfect sense. So maybe it's more like he's 55, but the beating that his body has taken is much more than that, which is an interesting point that seems to be less and less prevalent as the thing goes on. It's like over the course of the four stories, his body remembers what it's like to be a crime fighter. But yeah.
Usually for worse. Yeah. Yeah, I do like that about this comic. It does feel a little more grounded because it doesn't just pretend that, oh, I'm fine. Like, we're going to see Batman, slight spoilers, pick up the mantle again, pick up the cowl, and he's going to get hurt trying to do the same stuff that he did before. And not just physically.
So did I miss anything? Is that enough for
I don't think so. Just remembering that Batman traditionally does not kill. He doesn't believe in killing. He will apprehend. His parents died, and that was kind of one of the reasons he went into the gig. And he was all about, you know, there are some parallels between him and Daredevil, like trying to believe that the system works. And, mm-hmm. you know, he kind of pushes things in a certain direction from the shadows, but then, you know, hopes that once he apprehends them, that the law can take care of the rest of it. And we see a lot of contrast to that, that hope that he might have had before. So, Drew, do you want to get us started on issue one?
Let me
give credits real quick.
Oh, yeah, please.
So this is by Frank Miller's story, and then Frank also did the pencils on this, mm-hmm. so drew everything. Klaus Johnson did the inks, and Lynn Varley did the colors.
Yep. So whenever we open, like, I had a hard time figuring out what exactly was going on. It looks like Bruce may have been in some sort of a race.
Yeah.
And it's not important. But it seems like...
I think a little bit it sets the tone of he's in a race. He's pushing the car to the limits mm-hmm. beyond what it should. Almost in a... trying to get a thrill out of it.
Yeah, he's still... Though he's not Batman, he's not just sitting at home watching Netflix.
He does mention that this would be a good death.
Yeah.
So... immediately, you could kind of get a little bit of his mindset of where he's at.
So we open on, and you get a whole lot. You want to pull up some of like the bottom of this page so that we can kind of show people what the what a lot of it's going to look like. So we see a whole lot of panels that are like the news.
Yep.
You see little like televisions. They look like old school televisions. Mm-hmm. And we get talking heads. Basically what they tell us, what I told you just now, that Batman hasn't been around for 10 years. He's either retired or dead. And
yeah, and this is going to be an interesting kind of theme and motif visually that, and just, you know, contextually through the whole thing that we get is a constant stream of these little news panels that kind of point to what things are happening in like the greater world. Yeah. And very often it's getting more doom and gloom as it goes on.
And there's obviously a whole lot of people who are not fans of Batman or vigilantes.
Sure.
Yeah. So we get a little conversation between Gordon, Commissioner Gordon, and Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. And you can just tell from the conversation that it's just like, yeah, things have changed. You know, I don't know if it's here or later, but we find out that Gordon is on his way out. So, it's funny. There's a little bit of foreshadowing. Bruce Wayne has a mustache, and I was just like, how does that work? Whenever he puts on the cowl, people are going to see the mustache. Remember that for later. Anyway, he's kind of in his head, and at one point he ends up in this alley, and these people, they kind of look like Cyclops. They just have like these helmets with these red visors type things. We'll figure out, I don't know if we know who they are yet, but we'll find out real soon. And they basically confront Bruce, and they're like, it's time to slice and dice. And then Bruce is just kind of, it almost seems like he's like, you know, bring it on. It's fine. And they kind of step back and are like, it's not as good when they're into it.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
And did you notice where he was standing?
Is that supposed to be Crime Alley?
Yeah, that's okay. Like where his parents died.
So, yeah. But yeah, and then we fast forward a little bit. I'm going to do the best I can to not go page by page.
Yeah, listen, this is a thick comic series. Every one of these is 50 page, and they fill it up with art and text. This is not something that you just kind of skim through. You're going to want to read this. We're going to be hitting high points today.
So to try to give you what's happening next, we kind of go into what I assume is Arkham Asylum or something like it, and we see somebody that looks a little bit like Joker and then somebody who has their face wrapped in bandages, and we find out that is Harvey Dent.
A.K.A. Two-Face.
Yes, but he's been in psychological treatment for the last 10 years, all these people have, and they've also done plastic surgery to kind of make his face look more like unscarred.
Yeah.
And they're talking about how he's good. He's recuperated. He's going to be let out.
Yeah, he's going to be released back into society.
Yeah.
Which is, we get more of these news panels, obviously a controversial thing. Like these doctors are claiming he's good, but maybe his track record would say otherwise.
Yeah. So then I'm just going to flash through the next like 10 pages that almost could have been their own episode or their own issue, where we kind of get to fill in the gaps. Mm-hmm. And so I guess like if you pick this up and this is the first Batman ever, you don't know where it came from. So we do get to see him sitting there remembering the night his parents were killed. He remembers going into the Batcave and just kind of all that. And at some point he turns the channel while he's watching TV and he starts seeing all these terrible news reports of the crime and everything that's out of control. Mm-hmm. And something just kind of snaps in him. And I guess he's like, well, it's calling me back.
Right.
Even though I promised Jason Todd I'd never do it again.
Yeah, that's an important thing to mention, I guess, in passing. Somewhere in all the space of when he was gone, or maybe that's why he hung it up. I haven't read enough before.
I feel like, there is a prequel that is happening. Mm-hmm. I think it's come out since then, or since in the last couple of years. But yeah, it's supposed to basically like Robin died.
Right.
And as a result, he
Jason
was just like,
Todd Robin.
Yeah, he was like, I'm never going to put the cowl on again.
Right.
But and now things have gotten bad.
And we do know, I don't know if you knew this, but so the Joker is the one that killed Jason Todd. He beat him to death with a crowbar.
Yeah.
And I heard about that. Like a pretty doom and dire
If you're listening to this and you have by any chance already seen Batman versus Superman, you're going to notice a ton of parallels because it was heavily influenced off of this. I want to go back and rewatch it. Oh, I want to derail the conversation for a second.
Yeah.
You know how we always talk about the comic book rabbit hole?
Mm-hmm.
We're like, I'm reading this book and this book and this book, and it tells me to continue. I need to go check this book and this book and this book. Well, I think there's another layer where as you read more, you don't have to, but you're like, for me reading this, I want to go back and reread and rewatch other things to see how I feel it or see how it hits me differently. So I'm wondering what we would call that. Like just you want to go back and reread something you've already read for fresh context.
Sure. Yeah. Because, I mean, they definitely like pull from this
in
not just one movie, but several.
Yeah. So anyway, just give that some thought. We got the rabbit hole and all kinds of other stuff. So.
Yeah.
So then we jump forward and this is important. You could tell it was important. It was like the most colorful thing we've seen in forever. So maybe it caught your eyes. But there's these two girls going through the Beat Street Arcade and like, they're just cutting through there and cause it's raining and somebody's like, there's a Michelle and a Carrie. And they're arguing like, no, we don't want to go through here. And he's like, it's fine. It's bright. Nothing can happen. And then the lights go out. And a couple people come out who they have those same weird visors.
Mm-hmm.
They've introduced these people as being the mutant clan, right?
I think so, yes.
Okay. So we know that these are the mutants. It's just kind of a gang that
it's
has
no relation to Marvel X-Men mutants, even despite the Cyclops-esque looking goggles.
So they are about to attack these girls, and then you see these strange waves of black across everything, and looks like claws. And then this guy is about to attack with a machete or something, and then you see these things sprouting out of his arm that have just been thrown, and you're like, dude, those look like batarangs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he literally threw batarangs through somebody's forearm.
Yeah, and they fight, and basically you realize, okay, he's come in. And there's all these kind of shady, like, that's probably Batman, but we don't know. He's just going around catching up for lost time.
Right, and Drew says they fight. It's more of him just absolutely destroying all these street-level things, and we, as Batman does everything in the shadows, they don't even really see it coming. Because, again, nobody's even expecting or looking out for him. Like, it's kind of a trope to see him, like, let's get out of here. The Bat might be coming or something. He's long gone. Nobody's expecting him anymore.
Yeah. And then a little bit later, he's followed basically. Sorry, let me make sure. Is this the scene I'm thinking of? Yeah, it is. What he's doing is this whole time, the news has been talking about how Two-Face is reformed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I don't believe it. So he's been trying to track this down, following thugs to different people until he finally is like, he using his grappling hook gun and all this stuff. And he comes in on this group of people and he finds one of Two-Face's coins, which, that was a thing of him. Like, I'm sure you've heard of it, but if you haven't, Two-Face would carry this, silver dollar coin and one side would be all scarred up. And that's how he would make his choices. Like, you're going to live or die based off of what this coin does.
Yeah.
So it was a very iconic thing. And he finds one of those.
Yeah, it's real interesting if you think about the dynamic between Two-Face and Batman. They started out, and they touch on this pretty well in the Dark Knight film that Christopher Nolan did about Harvey Dent was supposed to be the defense attorney for Gotham that actually finally turned things around and made it where Batman wasn't needed anymore. And like Bruce, he kind of believed in this justice thing and that it would actually work out. And because he lost the love of his life to the Joker, it seemed to be random chance, and then he was the one that survived. He ended up kind of losing faith in that that hope for justice and leaving things up to chance. So it was two-faced, and there's going to be a chance you live or a chance you die no matter what, and he uses that coin to dictate that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting dynamic.
Yeah. So we kind of jump forward to the end of this, and you see Bruce Wayne laid out on basically like an operating platform, and Alfred is like just helping him because he's not a 20-year-old anymore. So kind of like Torrance had mentioned, his body is not recuperating as quickly. So they're like, basically, he should be taking his time, letting his body heal, but he doesn't. He gets back out there again, and he keeps following this. And it is kind of interesting. There's this really, this is a scene that foreshadows like issue three. We learn that Joker had apparently gone catatonic at some point as soon as Batman went into retirement. That, and then they show, like, people are saying, ah, there are reports of Batman back out. And, you know, they're talking about it. And you see Joker's face just kind of light up, and he's back. Because as soon as Batman came back, then Joker came back too.
I'm trying to find the panel where he's laid out on a table.
It's like 38, I think.
Oh, okay. You said at the end, and I was like, did I miss that?
Yeah, I just meant, I jumped to the end like after that fight is what I meant.
My bad.
So anyway, he gets some tips from Commissioner Gordon, because Gordon puts up the bat signal again. And our Carrie Kelly sees the bat signal and she smiles.
Mm-hmm.
Hint, hint. So basically he gets a tip. It's not really important right now, but he hears Gordon's like, oh, back whenever that thing got hit, they stole two helicopters. So Batman's like, that means that Two-Face is going to do something that he can access from the air. So we see him up on top of a building like a gargoyle, just on the lookout.
With a sniper rifle?
Yeah. Which when I saw that, I was just like, that's strange.
It gives you a little bit of a wink of the mind state that he's in. Mm. Like he used to not be like, I'm going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
And maybe not anymore.
But then, you know, a helicopter comes up and we see him shoot the thing. And it's actually like, I think it might be part gun, but he also has like a grappling hook in the mm-hmm. gun. So, but we find out that Two-Face uses these helicopters and attacks some building. And then there's this message that comes out over the TV. And he's like, yeah, I've got another one of these bombs and I'm going to use it unless you pay me $5 million.
Yeah.
And at some point, basically, Batman does Batman things and defies gravity and whatnot. And he's able to get Harvey Dent. And
yeah.
Like he takes him and they fight and they both end up crashing in through this window. And this whole part is just kind of like, they leave it open-ended. I guess you're just supposed to kind of know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He got him. Like, they show this. This might be an important panel to toss up.
Yes.
Right. So there's a, they're kind of just having a talk and he's like, what, Harvey, what are you? And Harvey says, what are you so mad about, bats? I've been a sport. You have to admit that I played along. And you took your joke about as far as you could. And then they show these panels of his face. And basically what we learn is, yeah, they fixed his face, so now they both match.
Mm-hmm.
So inside and out, he matches, and he's all Two-Face.
Right.
Like, he's evil through and through. And Batman, and then that's just how it ends. You know?
It is interesting. I'm going to kind of add some layers to what he's saying. Like, the panels keep going, and you see fixed Harvey Dent, and then, like, a flash, and it shows this very disfigured Harvey Dent, and then back to it. And then you see Batman, and he basically does the same thing, but when the flash happens, you see a bat, and then Batman basically sees a reflection of Harvey, and then it kind of alludes that it's a reflection of himself, again, kind of harkening back to that parallels between some of the ideals that they may have shared at one point, but now some of the ideals that are much darker and with less hope that they might share.
Yeah. So what do you say? You cool to take a little break?
Yeah, that's the end of book one. We're going to take a quick break and jump into book two. We'll be right back. And we are back, and we're going to carry on with issue two of The Dark Knight Returns. What is this one actually called?
Dark Knight Triumphant.
Yes. And there's a little bit of foreshadowing on the cover of this one. This art style is, I don't even know how to describe it.
It
grungy watercolor.
Yeah. There's some scenes that, like, I'm uncomfortable to look at.
Yeah.
It's
same creative team here.
Yeah.
Are they watercolors? I don't think they are.
I think watercolors marker. Sometimes in the background.
Okay. Yeah. Dark Knight Triumphant is the issue with this one, and I have some notes on it. I'm going to move with a relatively quick pace. So we kind of move on from the Harvey Dent story of this, and we get into, and Drew, if you get into anything that I'm not covering, because I definitely took like some high level mm-hmm. bullet points and I'm just kind of like, this is what happened in this book. So we're definitely dealing more with the mutants, this gang that is kind yeah. of taking over Gotham. Also throughout this issue, we get kind of the outgoing of Commissioner Gordon and just his outlook on how everything, and he kind of wants to stay on personally until this mutant thing is taken care of, but there's political pressure for him to be out and have a new face. And mm-hmm. You just get this sense that everything is a little bit more political than it should be as they're moving through here. But essentially, Batman becomes privy to this gang, and he decides that he is going to basically take them out. So he gets wind that they're going to be holding some sort of event or a rally or something. And whatever they call it, the dump? Or
yeah.
It's like this, I don't know, this just this trashy, nasty.
Yeah, it's a dump from what it looks like, and it apparently is just where the mutants hang out.
Right. We also see Carrie, what was her last name?
Kelly.
Carrie Kelly, that's right, suiting up as Robin for the first time in this issue.
Yeah, she makes a comment. I saved up for a long time. She just went and bought it at some store.
Right, so we haven't really seen much to infer that she has like any legitimate skills.
Yeah, I mean, it does say at the beginning, like she puts on the thing and just tries to go train herself.
Right.
Like she's jumping from building to building, trying out acrobatics, which, man, she's got some guts.
Yeah, she definitely struggles a little bit here. Like you hear her talking about, you know, how much she's struggling to like get just down this building, and she slips and falls a little bit. There's some news stuff with the mutants talking with news anchors and everybody going back and forth, these pundits and stuff. Anyway, Batman shows up at this place in his Batmobile, which is very Tumblr-esque, Tumblr tank-esque.
Slash gigantic.
Yeah, it's huge. And there's some kind of funny back and forth with Alfred of him talking about how it feels the same as it did 10 years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he ends up in this. Let me see if I can find the panels where he's at. Oh, yeah, he hangs a guy over the building in classic Batman fashion here to get some information. This is how he finds out, like, where everything's going to be. Mm-hmm. Where is it? Oh, yeah, so here he's right back in the Batmobile for the first time, and we're at this dump now, and there's this big militia of mutant gang members, and they're talking about all these terrible things they're going to do, and Batman shows up. Look how massive this thing is, and he just wrecks havoc. I think there's a number thrown around here, like 70-plus people that he kills like quickly, just because he basically says, like, the only thing that can pierce this tank doesn't come from this planet. Like, he is, he's Batmaned it, you know, he's prepared for the...
He didn't kill anybody.
Did he not?
No, he's still, like, sticking to that. No, he's using rubber bullets.
Oh, that's right. It's like
they're shooting with, like, bazookas and stuff, and, like, their weapons are ricocheting and killing
each other. Yeah, they're doing more damage than him. Yes. That's right. I remember him saying that.
He specifically said something about rubber bullets.
It says rubber bullets on us on that panel right there. So he's still sticking to it. He's not killing. But the guy in charge of the mutants, does he have a name?
I don't remember.
I don't think he does.
Just think of him as the leader.
Yeah, he's just the leader of this mutant gang. He's got like these sharpened teeth, pretty nasty looking dude. He's like staring down this tank of a Batmobile, and he's like, come out here now. Like, he wants to fight a man to man is basically the thing that we're moving for. And we get this kind of twisted thing of like Bruce sitting in there knowing that he could just end this right now. He could fix this problem. Mm-hmm. The mutants would go away. They wouldn't have a leader. This is how it'd be. He says, just a press of the trigger and blast him from the face of the earth, crossing the line that he drew for himself 30 years ago. And he says he can't think of a single reason to let him live, except, and I'm reading some of this, he's got the exact kind of body I wish he didn't have. Powerful, but without enough bulk to slow him down, and he's young in his physical prime. I honestly don't know if I could beat him. And then we see that Alfred's in his ear and his monitor are saying, like, you've shut down the weapons. What are you doing? And he's like, you can't be serious. He'll kill you. And Batman gets out of this, and we get this strikingly awesome panel. I posted this in the Discord last night. It gave me chills of this old Batman getting out of this protective thing that he could have ended, because this harkens back to the first panels in issue one. It's almost death wishes. Mm-hmm. Death Wish-esque. Like he wants to fight this guy to see if he can still do it. Like, mm-hmm. can he still move and fight like the old Batman? And we quickly find out that he just doesn't have it, the quickness like he does. Like, he gets a few good hits in. Like, it starts off like Batman's beating him up, and then suddenly this dude does a few moves. Like, he scratches across his chest, mm-hmm. and he feels it in that pain, and then he, like, is analyzing. He's like, he had all the time in the world to catch this kick right here that's on the screen.
Yeah.
And they start fighting. It gets more and more gruesome and bloody, and they're tumbling around, and he's talking about trying to feel if he's bleeding internally, and he feels ribs breaking and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And the dude's winning. He's mm-hmm. about to kill Batman. And at the very last second, when he has a crowbar that he's about to finish off Batman mm-hmm. the same way that Joker finished off Jason Todd, our new Robin, Carrie Kelly, jumps in and hops on the dude mm-hmm. and essentially saves Batman, like gives him a second that he can actually like...
He takes some capsule and like that has something that knocks the guy out and tosses it in his mouth.
What is going on? My pages just jumped from 40 back to page 2. So the DC app been weird for you lately?
Sometimes.
It's doing some funny things. Where was I?
I'll fill in for a second while you're finding it. So the guy gets incapacitated, and the new Robin basically drags him back to the bat tank. And we hear Alfred talking through her, you know, so like, just put him up on the sensors, just get out of the way, and then you can head home.
Yeah.
So we know that, I guess, this thing has autopilot and it's headed back to the cave. Intermixed with that, we have a weird like cutaway scene where we're at the White House mm-hmm. and there's somebody that has a serious like super militant Captain America vibe, like standing guard. But we just see this waving flag as somebody's talking, and you're able to infer that it's the president. And basically what we learn
is...
He's talking to somebody. And the waving flag slowly mutates into the Superman sign.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what he's saying is, hey, so look, things are getting out of hand in Gotham. I might need to call you in to take care of things. And he just says, yeah. Superman's like, sir, I can talk to him, but... And then gets interrupted and basically doesn't give him an option. He's just like, yes, sir.
Right.
Presence just says, good boy.
Yeah, so back in here, mm-hmm. Bruce is getting worked on. The leader of the mutants is already on TV screaming that he killed the bat and he's going to take over everything. He actually... I guess I should give a little spicy warning if you're not used to reading some pretty... Not necessarily cursing, but just pretty descriptive graphic language as far as what these guys threatening to do to people. Just be ready for that. So back in the Batcave, Batman's like getting a little better. You know, Alfred, the machines are working on him, and he's inquisiting about like how did Carrie get all these skills. And she talks about Girl Scouts being this thing, mm-hmm. and he finds out her name, but then she quickly corrects to her name is Robin. You know, And he's like here for it a little bit, like this young girl. Does it ever allude to actually how old she is? She's definitely
13.
Yeah, she's 13 years old, and he's like fine with that, which is hilarious. When I think about my own kid is 14, and the thought of him fighting crime is hilarious, very very funny.
Yeah.
So Alfred's kind of protesting. Bruce is all for it. And we get this kind of interjection of this different scene where we're back at the Arkham home for the emotionally troubled, and we see Joker out there reading a book, and somebody's talking about him, and it kind of basically just foreshadows that maybe he also might be mm-hmm. getting out eventually, which probably not a great thing. Back in the cave, Bruce is recovering. He strips down, and he's just wearing the sling, and he's kind of like thinking about all these things, and we see this pretty awesome scene of Carrie Robin looking mm-hmm. up at the old Robin. I think that's Dick's costume.
Is it Dick or is it Jason?
Well, I don't know, because Jason Todd's I thought was all messed up. Maybe they did that just for
maybe.
Maybe I'm superimposing the film over
and
this.
Was that because I'm thinking that this was it was Frank Miller that just decided. Like he was like, yeah, one of the Robins died before it ever actually happened. Sure. So yeah, he could have just left it open-ended to let people sort out in the future.
Yeah, I like, and maybe this is just a little too tongue-in-cheek, but I like the way that they had like in the film, Joker had written like ha 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 across the cover of it. It's just a little more twisted. We get several interjections.
Yeah, there's a bunch of random scenes that I think it's just
crime.
Yeah, crime. And eventually, I think the important point is that Batman decides to try to use Kelly or Carrie to infiltrate. So she apparently he has a mutant costume and tosses it on her, and she sends him sends her in
correct.
To go and like basically round everybody up. Be like, hey, the leader called for you.
Right.
You know, be here at this time at the dump, you know.
Yeah. So we're seeing what Batman does best. He got his butt kicked, he almost died. So he's like, in that, we kind of come to the terms that he's aware, like, okay, I can't do this the same way I used to, but I can do what I used to do and that I can plan. And he gets a plan together, and long story short, Carrie rounds everybody up, and they end up going out, like, they break out the guy out of prison just so he can get him back in this, like, area where everybody can watch what's about to happen.
There was a pretty cool scene where, like, I guess Gordon was in on it because, like, the lights go out and, like, the door just swings open in the leader's cell, and Batman's there and is like, you know how to work an open door, don't you? Or you know what to do when a door's open.
Right.
And then basically
they get out through all these tunnels, very Shawshank exit of the prison.
And they drop down into this mud hole.
Yeah. And what happens next, it's awesome. Like, the way this fight is described, it basically... Hold on, I want to find this one line.
Is it the, you don't get it, this isn't the mud hole, it's an operating
table?
That's
exactly what it is, yeah.
And I'm a surgeon.
Yeah, that was it. So Batman is absolutely destroying this guy he's just taking out certain part, making it where this dude can't use his arm.
Yeah, like, I think at one point he was like, all right, I'm going to slice him on the face and then get mud in the wound. So he's like distracted by that. And I think at one point he breaks one of the legs.
Yeah.
And he's like, something tells me to stop with the leg. I don't listen to it. And so he basically, he's just like standing over this dude who is down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get this closing panel, and then suddenly all these people that were the mutants are without a leader, and they're so cult-like that they just jump to being, we are the, what do they call themselves?
The Sons of Batman.
The Sons of Batman, and they're just going to like be a little army for Batman now, or at least... To varying degrees, there's some of them that kind of just seem like they do breakoffs and abuse that power.
That's in the next step.
But that's the bulk of everything that happens here. We close with Jim Gordon turning in his badge and leaving as the commissioner.
So issue one, Batman comes back.
Yes.
Mutants are introduced. He deals with Two-Face.
Yes.
Issue two, more development of the mutants. Who have slowly taken over, making people fear for themselves. Mm-hmm. Robin is introduced, the new Robin, and he basically takes out the head of the mutants. So, but there's a whole lot more to it, obviously.
Oh,
and like you said, Gordon is on his way out. But yeah, it's intense. I feel like those two issues were good. The next two are where it really heats up for me. So
yeah, really good.
If you're listening to this the week it comes out, you've got time. Go and find these on DC Universe or anywhere.
Yeah,
and give them a read so that you can follow along. It's definitely worth it.
Like I have a hard copy up there somewhere. You see it?
Well, maybe.
Maybe one of those.
I don't know.
It's possible that I'm lying.
I don't know.
Is he in there? That might be
this is just like a
Batman encyclopedia. It's really cool. You will need to sit down and prepare to read.
There's a lot of text, a
lot of dialogue, a lot of back and forth. The art is like small, like it's kind of, it is, I don't want to say it's aged poorly in that they use a lot of like nine plus panel. Like they fill up the page to tell a story. Cause he tells this kind of epic almost in four issues.
Yeah. People talk about how like, when this came, it transcended comic books. Like it was, you know, held up there with like literary classics.
Yeah.
Something to be studied. Mm-hmm. So it shifted things.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Cool. Any thoughts on that before we jump into some trivia?
Like, no, my only thought is I think it's more once we're done with the whole story, which by the way, there are more than four books. The Dark Knight Returns is what came out first, but he came out with a second one and a third one later on that have varying degrees of following. But if you like it, I think I'm going to be trying to find them and read them just so I can be a completionist.
Right.
So I think we, do you have anything?
No, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back for some trivia.
Batman.
And we're back with our lightning round of trivia, where our lightning round questions are faster than Batman when he realizes he is not a young, fast, spry bat anymore.
I thought you were going to say faster than those batarangs grew out of that dude's forearm.
Yeah, that would. Can you imagine the four batarangs just boom, 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 boom?
Are those the batarangs? I feel like a batarang.
They've varied. They've changed so much over the years.
Well, I guess what would the point of taking an actual boomerang into battle be that wasn't sharp?
Sure. Yeah. They're all basically just shurikens, right, with a bat flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're bat-flavored shurikens. Am I saying that correctly? Shurikens?
Shuriken?
I think you're in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Now, whenever you say...
You like you're a... Obviously, you would know this.
I like the thought of a bat flavored shuriken. And yeah. It's actually tastes like a bat.
Yeah.
Not just looks like it. It tastes like it.
All right. Trivia. We're jumping in. This will be two rounds. We'll conclude this on next episode. I'll go first.
Okay.
I've got some fun ones. So Frank Miller.
Yes.
Has created several things that are good. Mm-hmm. Some that aren't, believe it or not. Nobody's perfect. Okay. But several of his things have been even is good enough to be adapted for film. There are two films of note for half a point each because of how easy they are, but they'll be fun for the fans to know. Can you name those two films?
Sin City and 300.
Correct.
So I'll say that slower. Sin City and 300.
Yes. So Frank Miller had comics first from 300 and Sin City, which are cult classics.
Have you seen those?
Sure. Yes.
I own Sin City. I watched the sequel. Mm-hmm. I don't own it. I've never seen 300.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen 300?
Yes.
Did you like it?
I did.
Yeah. I think you'd really like it. The cinematography in 300 is like Sin City in that it's mm-hmm. very dramatic and moody in the lighting, but the fight scenes, holy, are so cool because it's like speed ramp, slow motion, like we'll be in real time and then slow-mo for this and then ramp into another thing. The fight scenes in 300 are incredible. That's another one that's also pretty spicy, by the way. Actually, so is Sin City. But notable works that he's worked on. He's also done, Daredevil and Elektra and Wolverine books. He has a taste for the darker side of comic books for sure. All right.
Point so I for got you. A point.
Sorry, I only made him half a point, but I knew you were going to get him. So
I might not have had I not done the research work for this. Gotcha. I might have been able to think of. We got a weird lag thing happening. Delay.
Yeah.
It's. I might have been able to think Sin City. I don't think I would have remembered 300. Yeah. My question for you is, who was the first actor to portray Batman in a live-action film?
In a live-action film? Is that a key word?
Well, I mean, that's just what it says. A live-action movie.
Did Adam West have a film, or is he just TV? There's probably somebody before him. Oh, I'm going to guess... I don't know. My gut says stay Adam West and assume that he had a film. But then there's probably somebody before him. But then I'm like, maybe Adam West didn't have a film, and maybe it was... Surely we didn't make it all the way to Michael Keaton as the first Batman film. I'm going to guess Michael Keaton somehow made it all the way to being the first one.
See, I kind of wondered if you would say that. Yeah. No. So the first actor to play Batman in a film was named Lewis Wilson.
Okay.
And that was in, I believe, 1943.
Yeah, we do have some weird reverb things going on.
I'm hoping it's not happening. Maybe it's just us talking.
Maybe we can fix it in post. If you hear some weird stuff with our voice right now, sorry. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
I just decided not to stop it since the episode's almost over.
Cool. Any closing thoughts? Did you have trivia for us? Nothing? That's fine.
No, not today.
Yeah, cool. So you're up 1-0, but the Dark Knight does return.
Mm-hmm.
And I am Batman.
That's right. Cool. Well, we already gave everything, but we'd love for you to interact with us, Two-Man Comic Book.
Yep, not too late to join the Santa, or not Secret Santa, the Christmas giveaway.
Hashtag Two-Man Christmas 2021.
Yeah, hit us up, like and subscribe on YouTube, do all the social media stuff. We want to talk about comics with you. Mm-hmm. Until then, though, we'll see you next time with the conclusion of Frank Miller's.
We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel.
Same bat channel. Bye.
Oh, crap, I'm supposed to hit this button.
Oh, yeah, music. Listen to this music as we leave, and then we'll say bye.
I'm good at this.
It's been a long morning. See you later, y'all. Two-Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris. Hey guys, I'm Bucky Beaver. Welcome to Movie Phone.
Okay.
Hey guys, I'm also Bucky Beaver.
All right, so now you can fade to black. And action. Oh, dang it. Will you go back to black?